Oh, my brothers and sisters, these past few months have been a difficult one for me. I've been witness to so much pain and so much suffering, some personal, yes, but mostly it comes in the form of you brothers and sisters. There are so many of you guys who are hurting. There's so many of you guys are in a place where maybe you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. And because of all these things, and because of all the prayer I've been doing, and because for all the wisdom I've been asking, and literally ask God, this is such almost an epidemic up to this point. I literally ask God, God, how can I help with the youth? How can I share what I learned and about you? And after all these things, God gave me this verse, and it really touched my heart. And so I want to share with you what God taught me. So the 3 points of this sermon, it's going to be hard to hear. Pain happens to everyone. Pain happens. Second point is pain has a purpose. And the last one, pain has power. So let me ask you guys this. How many of you guys ever feel weak? Like, and I'm not talking necessarily physically weak, like, oh, I don't have power. But like weak in the sense, man, maybe there are some things in my life that I cannot control. There are some things in my life that literally I just have to suffer through. How many of you guys ever think like that? Sometimes. How many of you guys ever feel that sometimes life gets harder than you think you can handle? How many ever have a feeling of hopelessness? I cannot continue. This is too hard. How many of us, because of our circumstances, right, that we feel that we are completely and utterly not in control? And these things manifest itself in many different ways. Some of us, we get overly concerned on what people think. Like their opinion of me matters more than my opinion of myself. And literally, we lose sight of who we are. Sometimes we think, man, there's something wrong with me. There's something wrong with my brain. There's something wrong with my heart. There's something wrong with me in general. Because of all the things that I am suffering from. And it doesn't matter, because there's tremendous pain, whether it's physical, emotional, psychological, or even spiritual. And the truth is, I bet every single one of us can relate to this, because all of our gauges, whether it be these physical, mental, emotional, spiritual gauges, all of these we predicate on how good or how bad we're feeling, or how good or how bad our circumstances are. We put more effort and energy into the event itself than what God is doing in our lives, and we lose sight. But here's the problem. Even in the midst of suffering, we're really good at hiding it. I'm going to say it again. We're not just good at it, we're really good at it. Look to the left, look to the right. Each and every one of us is suffering in one form or another, and we bury it deep. I know me, I'm an Asian man, and it goes deep. Like, I try to compact it in deep. And because of these things, we feel even more deprived. We feel more tired. We feel like more that we can't carry on. And that's why for today, I want us to look at Paul's example. Paul is the New Testament version of someone who perseveres. And that's why we're using him. Because Paul simply didn't go down with the ship. Literally, 3 times he was shipwrecked. 1 time he spent a full day and night on the open sea. And there were many other problems along the way. For example, try being stoned. Has someone ever thrown a stone at your head because of your beliefs? How many of you guys ever been scourged? You know what scourging is? It's like being whipped, but at the end of the whip, there's this bone or metal fragments. This is what happened to Jesus, where it whips you, and these things cut into your flesh. And as he yanks it out, chunks of flesh come out. 5 times that happened to Paul. He was beaten with fists, rods, and words. So whether he was scourged, chased, scandalized, or slandered, whether he was the focus of riots, getting death threats on a day-by-day basis, having all these near-death experiences, and in fact, if you study in the book of Acts on the island of Malta, he got bit by a poisonous snake. Literally said, oh, snake. Paul persevered through these things. And in fact, it wasn't the hardships that Paul talked about in his letters. It wasn't like he only describes it, oh yeah, it was hard, so I'm going to boast in these weaknesses. But what we hear from Paul, and if you read his letters, the only problem that he was trying to talk about was the ones that were continually happening in the churches that he started. Because if you look at it, all of his letters, more or less, are filled with corrections. And some of them were quite harsh in his rebuke of some of these churches. And even though all of these things are happening, Paul's work changed the world. In places like Athens, Ephesus, and Corinth, where these major metropolises, where these major temples of their gods, Greek and Roman gods, stood up, whether Aphrodite or any of these other gods, all of these places, these temples, are in ruins. Okay? They are in ruins. These big, majestic things that, oh, stand the test, they are in ruins. But you know what's incredible about Paul's work here? Even though it was some 2,000 years ago, these temples do not stand anymore. But today, billions upon billions of people are still reading Paul's letter, are memorizing the passages, and are following his instructions and preaching because of his passionate message in our culture. And this is true because this truly stands the test of time. So I would say it's trustworthy. Because the truth is, none of us likes pain. None of us likes suffering. In fact, most of us are conditioned to think pain equals something bad. Most of us think is, if I'm suffering, then something bad is happening. But Paul is teaching us something different here. Even at the slightest of discomfort, literally we rebel against it. And in fact, the suggestion or the sight of it is something that we do not want us to have. But here's the thing, my brothers and sisters. Oftentimes, life's lessons that help us to grow and change, like truly change, is not taught in the classroom of peace and tranquility. It's literally taught in the classroom of suffering. So whether you are suffering right now because of the stress and pressure of school, or if you're dealing with some kind of excruciating pain of disease, whether you're suffering heartbreak because you lost your way or you lost something very personal to yourself, all of these things matter to you and all of these things matter to God. And this is what this sermon is all about, how to deal with this. So my first point, pain happens. See, from a logical point of view, you would think that God would reward all those who minister for him to do his goodwill to have less pain, would you not think? After all, you would think, man, God, if I'm not in pain, I can do more evangelism. And this is Paul, I would imagine Paul's line of thinking, I can do more evangelism, and if I do more evangelism, I can get more people into your kingdom. Yes, those are all good things. But there's a purpose in why Paul had to suffer. See, we need to understand this. God would give anyone, right? If he had a heart to love us and to keep us pain-free, wouldn't he do that? Would he not do that? After all the missionaries, all the church planters, all the pastors literally work for God. So wouldn't it be a good idea, God, because I'm serving you, you would protect me from these things because I'm doing all these things that I wouldn't have to suffer whatever I'm suffering from? That somehow God would take special care of me because I'm his servant. Because literally, God, I work for you. My brothers and sisters, Paul didn't get a pass, nor should we expect one as well. As he set about planting churches, becoming the leader of the evangelistic movement to the Gentiles, Paul endured incredible amounts of pain. If you want to see the greatest hits of pain from Paul, like literally his greatest hits, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11 through verses 23 to 29. It includes multiple imprisonments, beatings, floggings, canings, life-threatening experiences, stonings, shipwrecks, floating adrift on sea, not having enough food, being naked, not being able to sleep or have friends. He was chased by bandits. He was chased by the religious leaders, the ones that he was trying to save. And he battled temptation, anxiety, and all these other things that all these young churches were experiencing. And now here Paul says in these verses, a thorn in my flesh. How bad do you think a thorn in the flesh is? I tell you how bad. As scripture says, it's straight from hell bad. It was a messenger from Satan is what he says. Literally sent to torment me. God allowed these things to torment me. So if you're a person going through excruciating pain because of illness, I don't know. I only seen what I hear about cancer treatment and some of the things that they go through and the pain of all the chemotherapy. I couldn't imagine. Or if you have some kind of stomach ailment, I'm sorry, Lisa, you have to go to the emergency room and all these things. If you're going through suffering like these things too, how does it make sense? What if you have an incurable disease? Right? What if you have some kind of degenerative disease that affects you for the rest of your life, and knowing every day, every year you live longer, the worse you're going to be? How do you live with something like that? Think about it. There are so many arrays of diseases, disabilities, discouragement, and all that can come our way. Maybe sometimes it's not loving yourself. Or maybe sometimes it's not allowing God to love you. Paul literally asked, God, remove this pain from me. The Bible doesn't say what it exactly was, but literally he says, remove this pain from me. God, don't you see? If you remove this pain from me, I can do so much more for your kingdom, he's crying out. I can raise more money. I can make more witnesses. I can mentor more disciples. He could prove the power of God even more if literally the miracle happened and say, look at my life as a testimony. God took this away from me. Don't believe me? Look at Acts chapter 19. Paul asked again and again, Lord, help me. Paul asked, please, Lord, do these things for me. Please, God, help me. How many guys ever cried out to God, help me, Lord, help me, Lord, help me, Lord, and didn't get a response? That pain didn't go away, whatever that problem was. Here's the thing with Paul. He prayed this prayer, but this pain lasted his whole lifetime. It was never taken away. Let's make this more real. Not only Paul, but our Savior himself. Our Savior himself has endured incredible pain. He knows what it is to have emotion and cry. He cried for Lazarus in the tomb. Literally, as he walked by Jerusalem, he saw the city and he cried for Jerusalem because of their unrepentant hearts. He knew the physical pain of the cross. Could you imagine being nailed into a thick piece of metal and wood and just being hung by your own body weight? He knew personal pain, suffering because of betrayal. Your very own, one of your closest brothers betrayed you, turned their back on you. In fact, they instigated something to make your demise. These are all real human emotions and all real things. He knew what rejection was when the very people he was trying to save said, crucify him! Do you think we suffer as much? But here's the thing. I know it's silly to make a case that pain is part of life. But here's the truth, and this is a little joke here. What happens, I talked this over with someone, some of the you girls. What happens when a baby is first born? What do they do? Why? Right, why? Because crying means they're breathing. So life starts out with pain. But here's the thing. As even life starts out with pain, we endure more pain and more hardship as life goes on. But the real important question is, will you find any positives in that pain? Paul did, and maybe you can. Maybe you have already and not really acknowledged what God is trying to do in your lives. But here's the thing, and I'm bringing my second point. Pain has a purpose. See, this point of theology is really hard and really tough. Because I hate to say, you guys will suffer, but I know that's what the truth is. But at the same time, there's a fine line that can't be crossed. Because everyone says, yeah, God will give you only to what you can handle. But that's a misconception too, because in that verse, right, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 13, that's all about temptation, what we can face as a temptation, not what we can face as endurance of pain. So it's never wise to say, yeah, God made this pain for you. Sometimes it's even unbiblical the way you can say it. But in the midst of all these pains and all these things, you might discover something that's very important about this pain. What is the purpose? I was counseled by a very wise man once, and he said that in the midst of suffering, think about the purpose. Think about the purpose of pain. That kind of process leads to maturity found only through no other process except through suffering and understanding what God is doing. And these lessons can only be learned in this classroom of suffering. Look at the passage we just read. Paul concluded to himself that this thorn, right at the very beginning, was meant to keep him from being conceited about his miraculous life and ministry. Since we know so much of this man's work in suffering, I suggest one more thing, that Paul's pain was a positive purpose of his life. Think about it. In Philippi, Paul and Silas were beaten in public and taken into the town dungeon. And they were the day's headline news. And all of Philippi was talking about them. They were saying, oh, he's speaking of the Jewish Messiah. Look at him. Now he's suffering. But when the details came, when he went to jail that night of the earthquake and the worship that they had and how everyone became, and in fact, so much so that the jailers themselves who imprisoned him converted into Christianity. Or maybe the beating that they took the day before, Paul and Silas are screaming in their prayers, God, God, please take this pain away, forgive me. God, I can't take this beating anymore. But that message of Christ exploded in that city. In large part because of their unfair suffering that they had to endure. In Ephesus, Paul had maybe what might have been the most successful ministry he had in anywhere, especially in Asia Minor. Preaching there only for 2 years, he had the whole province of Asia heard the gospel. That's recorded in Acts chapter 19. Suddenly, in little as it took to incite a riot, 25,000 people packed a local theater and screamed at the top of their lungs, blasphemy! Because literally they were threatening the worship of Artemis, one of their most economic god in a city where economics was all about it. It was a port city, remember? And in that riot, most people weren't sure what all that riot was about. But what outcome of that was that every person heard the gospel message that day. Paul only knew the pain of having to leave his home and ministry in a hurry. But Paul knew the truth of why he had to do what he did. In the midst of that suffering, God's glory shined upon his life. And this is my challenge to you, my brothers and sisters. Even though it's as hard as it may be for you to accept, all the suffering, all the pain that's going on in your life is for God's glory to be shined upon it. And I understand hearing something like that. Oh, that's such a church answer. What do you mean? And I understand, like, it's extremely difficult to understand. How can I find the purpose of pain, let alone celebrate that purpose of pain? But here's the truth. All of this absolutely makes no sense unless you have one thing. It's called faith. Because faith plays an important role. Let me ask you this. Do you believe God is in control? Do you believe God has a purpose in your life, including all the little things that are included into it? Because in the midst of pain, there's an incredible opportunity for faith to mature. That no other thing can help you grow as a Christian than the suffering that you're going through. Because it takes tremendous faith to pray to God when you're suffering to say, God, I don't know what's going on. I don't know why I'm suffering, but I know I'm suffering and there's pain. But God, I trust you in everything that you do. Because you are my God. I want to give you an illustration. One of my favorite characters, Joseph. You want to know someone who's suffering? That's one. He's found in Genesis chapter 37. His narrative goes through all the way to chapter 50. Joseph's life is an illustration for this. So if you know, how many of you guys remember the story of Joseph? Right, he was the youngest of all of Jacob's sons, right? But he was the most beloved. All the other brothers were jealous of him. So what did they do? They sold him to slavery. They literally said, I don't like you. And they said, come with us. And literally, hey, take this boy. They sold him into slavery. He was betrayed by his very own blood. How many of you guys ever hate your brothers and sisters? Ah! You mean love, right? But that wasn't it. Because there was literally another time in his life where every single angle, every single point of his life where he looked was nothing but misery. Showed nothing but pain. Whether being sold by his brothers, betrayed by his wife's employer. You remember that? Oh, you're so fine. I want to be with you. No, I cannot be with you. And then all the lies that came out after. Forgotten by friends in prison. Literally ignored by God who once promised this great position of leadership and power. Think about this. As most scholars believe, he was sold into slavery about 16 or 17 years old. How many years of suffering do you think he stood? See, here's the thing. I can tell you this story in about a minute or two and make you think, oh yeah, it was really great. But what we don't understand is this was maybe a process of 10 to 15 years in his life of suffering, enduring pain over and over again. That's a lifetime for me. That's a long time to be stuck in a dead end. But here's the thing. And here's the thing we often forget. It turned out God was very much at work. Yes, he may have not spoken to Joseph at the time, but in the midst of all this suffering, in the midst of all this pain, and even though Joseph couldn't see it, God was working on the courts of Egypt. God was literally working on the patterns to cause this drought that circled the globe. God was working in his brothers' lives as well. And most importantly, and this is the lesson I pray that we can all get out of this, God was working on Joseph's own heart. Do you love me? Poke. Do you trust me? Poke. Do you really believe everything that I say to you, even in the midst of this suffering? Poke, poke, poke. Poking and prodding his heart, really testing his faith. Even if his life took him to the bottom of the dungeon, or the heights of prosperity and power. God was saying, are you the man that I'm calling you to be? But make no mistake about it. As God worked, the waiting was hard, bitterly hard for Joseph. So here's the thing, my brothers and sisters. There are no guarantees for any of us. Even those who are called into ministry. In fact, I would say ministers have it a little bit harder because they have to suffer with everybody's pain too. So pain happens. And for those who dare to search God's heart and God's will, pain has a purpose. There's one more thing. Pain has power. There are very few times when we as Christians, we pray to God and God says, yes, my son. And we actually literally hear his voice upon us. Now, don't get me wrong. There are many ways he communicates with us. We can have this overwhelming sense of peace. But very few times, including myself, it was only like three times when I was in real danger did I hear God's voice, me personally. For Paul, was probably the same thing. Maybe three or four times as I studied the scripture. He says, this special revelation from God. God, help me. God, help me. Take this pain from me. Now, if you have a red letter Bible, you already know what I'm looking at. If you're looking at scripture right now, Jesus told Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in your weakness. Literally, God says, I will allow you to suffer. I hate it. But I will allow you to suffer so that you can see my power in you. See, that message and that messenger gave Paul all that he needed to do. When Paul kept asking, Lord, take this thorn away from me. Lord, take this thorn away from me. Why won't you take my sickness away? Why will you let my grandma die? Why will you let these bad things happen? Over and over again with all these things. He says, okay. In other words, what Paul was saying and what he decided, God, that's fine. Yes, my life is hard. Yes, I'm sick. Yes, all these bad things are happening. But I trust you. Because he says, Father, for if I trust you, then I have strength in you. More than focusing on my weaknesses. Literally what Paul says, for when I am weak, then I am strong. And my brothers and sisters, that's the power of pain. Truthfully, have you ever watched the news, like when people are in distress? Like just recently, the hurricane that went through the Bahamas where I seen everything and literally thousands upon thousands of people literally trying to get off an island. And every time when someone's being interviewed, I really wanted to listen to what they wanted to say, where their heart was. Because that's the truth. Because when people are in pain, especially when it's like with special intensity, when there's incredible suffering, we all want to know. Part of it is the morbidness of the curiosity and stuff. But really, the real attraction is, I want to see where the strength of this person lies. Because the truth is, in the midst of that suffering, in the midst of that pain, that's when character is developed. And character can inspire us all. In fact, I would say this. It's a prime time witness. When all our eyes on the person who hurts. You know, I love great stories and great movies. And when I was thinking about this, how can I make these illustrations? How many of you guys ever watched the movie Rocky? Oh man, I'm dating myself. Okay, thank you. I'm going to do the illustration because we have one. Rocky Balboa, champion, right? Came from the streets, came from nothing. And this big, super strong guy, boom, 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 knocked him down. And you know what's awesome about Rocky? Every time he got this boxing, don't fight. Hey, I'm not saying fight. But every time he got down, he got back. He said, one more time. I ain't done yet. One more time. And he stood his ground and he fought and he fought and he fought. In the sports world, it's when an athlete breaks his leg or hurts himself, tearing ACL, and he's being wheeled on in a stretcher and gives the thumb up, knowing that his career is probably over, but just by the love of the sport. In real life, it's like a soldier coming back home after being wounded, but still proud of this uniform that cost him so dearly. And in the New Testament, it's Paul crawling out of persecution underneath a pile of rocks in Lystra, dusting himself off and heading to Durham to do more evangelism. We can see that passion in other people and it inspires us because despite that pain, they kept their focus. We applaud it, we follow it, and we make it our aspirations of our own lives. So that's where I ask you today. In the midst of all of these things, Can you trust these Bible figures? Can you say, I can endure like they endured whatever pain you're suffering from right now? Because there's much more to this, because this is just one aspect of pain, but we also are a body of believers that we can lift each other up and care for one another. And that is passion itself too. And here's the thing about all of these things. Because of these such passion, because in the midst of such pain, we find it so great. But the truth is, there's also pain that is so great that it's also impossible to bear. Like literally when my grandmother passed away, I lost it. And only then, and only then, and that's when I said, that was the first time I heard, or second time I heard God speak to me in an auditory voice. That's the only time in those great pains that really only God can meet that need. And you know what happens after that? God becomes so much more real to you that you can literally trust Him with your life. But unfortunately, once again, that is also the place of greatest pain. But that is also the power of pain. Like nothing else, it introduces us to the power of God. But the lesson is difficult. And really, it is only God who can do it, as He is a part of our lives. So if you are apart from God today, if you are apart from the saving grace of Jesus Christ, this is the opportunity to come to before Him and say, Lord, I want to know You so that I can survive these times of pressure, these times of trouble, these times of tribulation, Lord. I want to know Your power too. And as Paul says, when I'm weak, then I am strong. I'll close with one last illustration. How many of you guys know what a pearl is? A pearl. And how a pearl is made. You know what a pearl is? It's a precious stone. I don't know if you call it a stone. You guys know? So, a pearl.
Oh, pearl. Oh, okay.
Pearl. P-E. Not the boba. I'm not talking about boba. I'm not talking about boba, but I'm talking about pearl. A pearl. Okay. Let me explain it to you, okay? See, there's the beauty of a single pearl. The luster of it, like the shine, the sheen of it, right? It's very unmistakable, especially if you ever had seen a black pearl. Really, really cool, okay? Few jewels capture the eye of a perfect pearl when it's like beautifully shaped and everything. But do you know how a pearl is made? Oyster, yes, it's an oyster. So what happens is, it happens naturally, but most times farmers, what they do is, they somehow pry open the oyster's mouth without causing it harm. And literally, they put one grain of sand into it. They close it up and they put it back in the water. That little piece of sand irritates the bejesus out of the oyster. What is this? What is this? And oysters can't move. They only do this. That's all they can do. They can't move stuff up on their body. So in other words, you know how the oyster helps themselves out? This little tiny irritant, the oyster tries to start sealing it. So it takes the same material that the shell is made out of, calcium carbonate or something like that, and it covers it. And year after year, it's like, oh, this thing is still no good. Like, oh, it's still irritating. So it covers it more, and it covers it more, and covers it more. And it takes about 4 years, 5 years to make a decent-sized pearl. Now, if you get a pearl like this, how long will that take? I don't know. But here's the thing. As the oyster suffers, as the oyster is doing all its best to live its life and just continue on and do the things that it needs to do, as the oyster does, right? Bivalve, they filter feed and whatever, right? This irritant that it's trying to cover over and over and over through the midst of this great suffering. But then one day, as the oyster doesn't know what it did, as the oyster doesn't know how it suffered and everything that happened, you cut open the oyster, you fish it out, and bang, you have a beautiful pearl. That gem that was inside that holds this amazing beauty and great value is a product of great suffering. I would challenge you guys today to think of your suffering not as something as a bad thing, but something that helps you to turn into something beautiful. that your life, that your faith will grow stronger in Christ Jesus. Because that's what all our lives are about, to make firm in Christ Jesus. See, maybe it's no accident that in Revelations 20:21, as the gates of heaven are described, the gates are all made with pearls. Right? Doesn't it make sense? Because isn't not Jesus' suffering that allows those gates to be there in the first place? All who enter that priceless gates know the personal cost of great suffering, because we said, Jesus, your suffering is my suffering. That's why we get baptized. We say, Lord, I recognize you as my Savior, and I die with you in my flesh, and I resurrect with you in spirit. That's how we can say, and that's how Paul can say, when I'm weak, I am strong. Pray with me. Gracious God in heaven, we thank you so much for your word today. We thank you for your encouragement that you give us. I pray, Father, that you would give us the boldness and strength to do all that you call us to do. May your spirit keep us alive and well. May we know, Father, the joys of our lives, even in the midst of suffering, knowing that, Father, that all these things has a purpose. Father, that you call us to bigger and greater things. God, may you bless us. May you keep us. And Father, in the midst of our struggles, Lord, may we focus on your mercy and your grace upon our lives. We love you, Father. Thank you for all that you do. We bless you for all these things in Jesus' name.